voice memo on my
phone just to make sure I'm covered both ways. So, all right, wonderful. So, we'll just start off, I think, with some basic questions just to kind of get everyone grounded. So, when did you work at the Writing Center, and was this for your MA, PhD, or were you working at the Writing Center for both?
This was my PhD, and I believe it was 2004, 2006.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, wonderful. And were you a consultant for both of those years, or tutor? How did they kind of frame the nomenclature? Because I know now we're calling ourselves consultants instead of tutors.
God, you know, I don't remember the nomenclature back then. I want to say it was consultants.
Okay. Yeah, I know Bromlin has really keyed in on that, wanting to kind of reframe what we do instead of having kind of the power position of tutor. So, okay, wonderful. So, maybe speak a little bit about the training process. You arrive at campus for your PhD. In-person training, how long did that take? What did you guys go cover in some of that training? If you can remember, I know it was a long time ago.
Yeah. So this is my training, or how we trained like the MA students?
Oh, okay. So did you guys train the MA students on how to be consultants while you were being trained as well? How did that work?
Well, here's my memory of it.
Okay.
So I was really fortunate. I came in with a fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
And so my first year as a PhD student, I didn't have to do anything except like go to class and be a student. And then I got a position with the Writing Center.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, I was attached to the Writing Center Research Project,
mm-hmm.
because it was housed there at the time. And so I did work for the Writing Center Research Project at first. And that job, my memory of it, was that I was scanning old WCJ articles, Writing Center Journal articles. This is back before the oldest issues were online. So this is, I guess it was back before some library database had them.
Mm.
And so if researchers wanted access to some of the oldest Writing Center journal articles, we had them on our website. And so I would like scan old WCJ articles and then clean them up in Photoshop and then load them up as PDFs onto our website. So that was part of my job for the WCRP. And then I was involved with the Writing Center survey, like sending that out,
okay.
and getting responses. So, I think at some point I crossed over into working with consultants more.
Mm-hmm.
At some point I crossed over into like sitting in on the class.
Mm.
So Carol Mattingly was the director of the Writing Center back then.
Okay.
And she taught the class on Writing Center tutoring.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting in on that class. I don't remember if I might have led part of it, because I know it was me and like maybe one or two other PhD students. So she would teach the class. There would be a bunch of MA students in it, and I think me and maybe one other or two other assistants. I think we were called as assistant directors back then.
Okay.
And we were assistant directors, and I think most of the time we would just chime in during whatever scholarship we were reading and discussing that day,
mm-hmm.
whatever main point Carol had for the class that day. We would mostly chime in with our experiences and our views on things. I think there might have been one day where we led a portion of that training class.
Okay.
But there's no, I have no ability in my memory right now to remember if that was, say, a summer class, like a summer training session, or if that was like an actual like autumn class that stretched over the whole period. That has vanished from my memory.
That's interesting. Because ours was a in the fall semester. It was a full semester course when we all arrived. But we also had a different experience doing a lot of summer online training. So with
That's great.
so so yeah. So were you kind of thrown into consulting, or was it kind of like this gradual process? Like how did you actually start consulting with writers? Were you doing that while you were kind of in this class discussing scholarship?
So I worked as a writing center tutor in my previous institution.
Okay.
So as a master's student at my previous institution, I worked there. So this was at Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville. I got my bachelor's and master's there. And at the time, the deal for the master's students was you would teach one class and then also work, I think, for 10 hours in the writing center a week.
Okay.
And so I got my training and experience there. And so I don't know if everyone else had that same kind of
Yeah.
background. But I don't think I had to receive any additional on the ground training before I became the assistant, one of the assistant directors. I know I would do tutoring. I remember vividly tutoring at that writing center. And I remember also just being around when the MA students were tutoring so that if there was some sort of issue that came up, I would help intervene in some way. I don't think any issues ever came up, but I was there.
So were all of these in-person, face-to-face consultations?
They were all in person. I don't think we had anything come in over email. I don't think we had anything like that at the time. I think towards the end, I have a vague memory of one of the other assistant directors. Her name is Joanne Griffin. I know towards the end she was doing some sort of, she wrote up some kind of research with Joanna Wolf, who was one of the professors there at the time, on like distance consulting. But I have no memory of us doing that there at that time.
Well, yeah, that's because we haven't done a single walk-in yet, so it's a totally different experience.
Experience. You're right. That was really different. Yeah. So yeah, we well, you've also changed locations too, I think, right?
Yeah, so
Because
we're in the base floor of the library. I think
okay.
were you all in the basement of the library or
We
in the
were like
humanities building?
we were in the library. We were like on the
Okay.
second or third floor. We had these beautiful windows.
Oh yeah. Okay, no, I think I remember someone actually talking about it that they moved. I don't know what year they moved. Maybe 2011, 2012, something like that. But we're on the first floor now. Which is really nice for visibility's sake, but obviously this semester hasn't really but
I get the that makes sense because some students had trouble finding where we were back then.
Yeah, now we have this big sign that directs students there. So all right, wonderful. Yeah, so well, we can jump into this question if you want to talk about that tutoring space, if there's anything of note about it. Did you have like computers there for students to use? Maybe if you could recall or speak anything to like how the environment was arranged. Did you guys have resources for students there, stuff like that?
Yeah, so the way it worked was there was the main library floor, and then there were these double doors that led into a thin hallway. And in that hallway were two offices, the director, Carol Mattingly, and then I forget her title, but there was another person there, Ruth, who like did all the scheduling. Then there was a front desk person. Once you got back there, the room was a big square, and on the sides of the walls. So two walls on the side, and there were these long tables with big desktops. And then the back wall was windows, just giant floor-to-ceiling windows. And then in the center of the room were a bunch of round tables. And so, and somewhere in there were bookcases with grammar books and that kind of thing. And I think back then, most of the sessions we did, students brought in paper copies. We would occasionally go over it. Some students would come in and they would work at the computers. They would type. They would look up research. But I don't really have many memories of like actually sitting at one of those desktops looking at a draft with a student on a screen. Most of the time, they brought in a paper copy. I think eventually I saw some students bringing in laptops, but a lot of it really was looking at paper copies in my experience.
So the student population that you worked with, do you think you worked with mostly undergraduates, graduate students? Was it kind of mixed?
It was mostly undergrad, kind of your typical undergrad. There were a lot of business students who, for some reason, had this awful assignment. I have a really strong memory of this. Over one summer, these business writing students had a pretty awful assignment where they had to write about an internship experience they had, but they couldn't use first person. So this professor, for whatever reason, was so strongly against them saying I, me, or my, that the students had to write, well, the worker did this, the worker did that.
Oh, that's crazy.
And the students were just at a loss for how to do this and to make it not sound awful. And so I remember like dealing with that assignment several times over one summer. Occasionally you get some grad students who I think we're still, I think they mostly came in for like English as English language learners, and they would come in for help. But I think those are the only grad students that I would work with. And I think at the time we even had as an option for a session was just like language practice. And so I think we even had that as an option where if students wanted, they could just come in. Oh, and I hope I'm not making this part up. I think we even had like board games. And so you could even just like play a board game with the student, and it's just like this low stakes language practice for English language learners.
That's really cool. That would be really fun to do. Because I've actually noticed we've gotten a lot of, I feel like 75% of my appointments last semester were graduate students. I feel like it's,
Really?
and that might, we've talked a little bit about why that might be. I mean, it might be because we're just not able to like outreach to undergraduates in the classrooms. So, you know, the undergraduate student was probably the majority of the population. What kind of issues in writing or concerns about assignments did students typically bring to you?
I think most of the students, I think a lot of it was your typical thing of they didn't know how to word their concerns, just like help me fix this, help me make it better. And so you would do the kind of standard practice back then, which was to read it out loud and to point out things that sounded off and to give your best feedback based on the big the bigger problems or the bigger issues. Then there were issues like that business writing assignment where they had to, you know, avoid the first person. I think when the grad students needed help, the ones I worked with anyway, it was kind of the English language learning issues. I think occasionally we would have a grad student who was like working on their dissertation and they really were just kind of wanting feedback of like, does this make sense? As you kind of slowly went through several pages with them. And I do also remember, kind of felt like some of my experiences were multiple students from like a class where whatever reason that teacher was either really strong on sending students or the students were kind of scared of that teacher, and so I would get a lot from them. And I remember several students felt like their professor expected a certain kind of performance, a certain kind of argument that the student, the professor wanted the students to make their own argument, to put their own ideas down, but the students felt like they would do better if they parroted what the professor said. And I would sit there and I would actually say, no, I've heard stuff about this professor. I think they're being genuine when they want you to when they want you to share your ideas genuinely. And they were like, no, I think I'm just gonna say what they want me to say. And that was a really interesting insight to get at that point in my career. And at the time, I felt kind of sad about it, but I also realized that's actually a pretty strong rhetorical awareness that they have of how to succeed.
So to that end, how do you think some of those maybe early experiences affected your instructing style? As you progressed through your academic career, how did those writing center consultations affect how you viewed students in writing as you kind of worked your way through the academic world?
I think by seeing some of those, it made me more aware of the need to be a transparent teacher and to explain why I'm doing certain things. So thinking about that business writing example, how those students were just flummoxed, they were just perplexed. And I think from situations like that, I learned to be clear about why I'm doing certain things. So that if it seemed like I was being particular for no reason, I wanted to make sure that they would have a reason for it. So it's made me be extra clear, I think. And then another is to realize that whenever I teach writing to students, it's made me aware of just the really different experiences they have bringing into the room, that coming into the room with them. So that they'll have some professors who tell them that using I, me, and my is wrong, and they just have that sense that it's wrong and it's always wrong. Or that if I get a sense that a student is maybe parroting back some of the things that I say, I probably shouldn't get too depressed about that. I should probably be like, okay, well, I want to hear them genuinely, but maybe this is really the smart move for them, and that's fine. So I think that Writing Center experience overall helped me get a better understanding of students. I mean, you can read about this stuff, you can read about how students feel and how they're told kind of writing myths by some professors, but kind of living it in the Writing Center really had a lasting impression on me.
So you, if, correct me if I'm mistaken, but you also were doing research at the time, and doing stuff, and because you have a co-publication from 2016 in a Writing Center journal. Was that something that you were thinking about as you were consulting? Talk to me a little bit about how that project came about.
So I think
Local
this is the writing,
practices.
this
National
is this,
consequences.
I'm sorry, say it one more time.
I'm sorry, local practices, national consequences.
Yeah, that's that survey. So several of us, Joanne Griffin, Carolyn Skinner, Iswari Pandey, me, that was the big Writing Center survey. And so yeah, we sent that survey out to we would go on like the big Writing Center listserv and announce the survey, and they would give us all this data on like how big the writing center was, how many visitations they would get, and we decided to do two things with it. We wrote like a big kind of just the facts release. We posted it to the website, I think, and then we wrote a journal article that had an argument to it, so the writers of that, we all split up different parts of it. So I mostly wrote the part about space, about writing center space and what we were learning from the survey, and how some of these writing center spaces were really tiny or really big. And someone else did a part about kind of the longevity, like how some of these writing centers just started the year before and some had been around for 20 years. And so what was really good about that article is that we put that into conversation with these kind of tropes,
yeah,
about writing centers. And there's like this trope in writing center scholarship of the writing center is always being beleaguered, is always being like the unappreciated part of the university. But then we saw these writing centers that had been around for decades, and it kind of pushed back against some of those myths.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did that. A lot of the writing center assistant directors, we did that work. Some of us were kind of in charge of sending the survey out and gathering the data, but then we all wrote it up together. While some of the directors were also like overseeing the actual tutoring. I think I must have been working on the journal scanning at that time. That's part of my memory about that. It just reminded me of something else that we all did back then. And I don't know if this is going to be a question you raise or not, but we also did sessions for like entire classes.
Oh, okay.
So we would invite like entire classes in.
Kind of like a workshop.
We would do workshops for like somebody bringing their English class, and we would do a workshop on punctuation.
Okay.
And Carol was really big on trying to get faculty in to get help and training on like assignment design, responding to student writing. And so we would also be involved with those too. And we would, especially for the students, we would devise that workshop. We would come up with the materials, we would make a plan for it. So I remember there was this kind of magical filing cabinet that had like a stash of what people had made over the years for these workshops. And so we would go to the filing cabinet and say like, what, did anyone do something on punctuation before? What can we steal? And I think even after I left and got a job, I got an email just as I was leaving that was like, did we move the files from the filing cabinet because we have a workshop coming up but we can't find some things? So that was another thing that we did in addition to the Writing Center Research Project and tutoring and overseeing that.
You might have mentioned, but did the Writing Center have like a website attached to U of L at the time? And if so, were you guys responsible for writing the blog posts, or did you have a blog or anything to that effect?
I think we had a blog. We had a website. I think Ruth was mostly in charge of the website. So Carol was the director, and then Ruth was like associate director, I think. And she was responsible for the scheduling, and I think maybe also the website. I don't remember writing much. I don't remember really dealing with the website that much, but we didn't have a blog. It wasn't that much of a, web presence. It was, your standard introduction page, hours, all that stuff. And I think we might've had a picture of all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And
what was so was the website, did that have the ability to like schedule an appointment? Or would students have to call like the front desk or something? Or was most of it just walk in?
I think a lot of it was walk in. I'm pretty sure they could call. And I don't know about the schedule. Like that was one of those things that I just never dealt with.
Yeah. Did you have I know this as we've kind of talked about the history of UofL's Writing Center and some of our own strategies, it was brought up that at some point in time, I don't know if this was during your time, where you had kind of like brief sketches of each writing center's like specialty, and students could select writers or consultants based on their specialty. Does that sound familiar at all?
No, it really doesn't.
Did you find that you would have like recurring writers that appreciated your style, or you just kind of clicked with and you worked on for longer term projects?
Yeah, I think I had some students who would try to come back when I was there. But yeah, I think a lot of it really was just kind of random walk-ins for me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I don't have I don't have a ton more to cover. If you can think of anything about perhaps how the Writing Center changed during your time there, I know it was relatively brief, but if anything that you noticed changing while you were there, or maybe how the pedagogy of consulting changed, or perhaps like how you like viewed yourself at the start of your consulting at UofL versus like how your consulting was at your previous institution, if there was some like differences in how you were, you know, instructed to, or just like kind of found in the literature new ways of approaching consultations.
Like you said, I wasn't there as long as maybe some other people, because I had that fellowship on each end.
Yeah.
And then I think my time might have been split a little differently than most people, because I think 1 year I might have been really focused on the WCRP research, and then like the next year I think I might have been more involved with the tutoring.
Yeah.
Or at least, I mean, I did tutoring throughout all of it, but I think in terms of like my assistant directoring, I think it was kind of split up that way. And so I don't think that the pedagogy really changed much in my time there. I don't think the space really changed that much. In terms of how it affected me, is at my previous institution, there was really no training to speak of. The person who was running that writing center had been running it forever.
Yeah.
And so the training, my knowledge of how to tutor really came through the various classes that I took to become a better teacher as a master's student. So I was teaching classes, and then I would bring my knowledge of writing and tutoring sessions. It wasn't until, I think it really wasn't until I started there that I actually read some of the kind of key books on kind of tutoring practices. And so then I was much more kind of critically informed about how you should do this stuff. And I think by the time I left, that position just helped professionalize me, really.
Yeah.
You know, so I walked in as a good tutor, as a good teacher. But by the end, I think I had a much better sense of the Writing Center field, of Writing Center tutoring. So I think it really just helped professionalize me.
Yeah. I know this is a, you know, you can take a pass if it's difficult to recall any specifics, but I'm just curious if there was any articles that you read at the time, or any Writing Center books that like really stuck out to you, and you like something that you kind of thought about during some of the sessions that you were having, like, oh, okay, I'm connecting my actual practice to this article that I read.
Nothing's.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing comes to mind, I know it's a very specific question, but.
Yeah, the thing is, I think eventually I probably could come up with something, but I have pandemic brain,
yeah.
Where I'm kind of lucky to remember what I'm doing next, you know, as opposed to being doing
exactly.
Food. Not sure there were, but I can't really think of anything off the top of my head. You know, I think less than a piece of scholarship, I remember going to a Writing Center conference for the first time when I was there. So in my previous institution, I didn't really go to Writing Center conferences. I didn't even know they existed.
Yeah.
And I think I went to one when I was an assistant director there, and there was this really stunning presentation that that a director and her assistant directors did. And it was really stunning. They did this thing where they did a bunch of interviews with students. Well, the director did interviews with students, and she found that she kept getting the answers that they like. They thought she wanted to hear about the Writing Center, how much it helped and all this stuff. And then she sent her tutors kind of out of the Writing Center to interview people, to interview students about the Writing Center and about writing papers. And she said they got these drastically different answers, and they shared some of that research at the conference, and it was just kind of eye-opening. How like so much of like writing scholarship at the time was about giving students kind of a writerly identity, and about making sure the paper is theirs, and the students that were being interviewed by these tutors were saying, I'm writing it for a class. Like they had no attachments to what they were writing. And I know that doesn't mean it's that way all the time for everybody.
Yeah.
I know that pedagogy can make the other happen, right? Can make students feel like they have writing identities and to feel like ownership of a piece. But it was really interesting hearing that, and it is the kind of thing that I had in the back of my head as I was pushing a student to be like, no, I'm sure your teacher really wants to hear from you. And they're like, dude, I just want to get an A.
Yeah.
And I just want to say what the teacher wants. And then I would remember that panel, that presentation in my head. So that was one that had an impact.
Well, wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing. I mean, I found several times just like reading the articles for the introductory class to tutoring. It's like, oh wow, I remember that like term or that theoretical model of instructing, and then I just like it happens. Like, oh, that's a really cool thing to see it. Well, wonderful. So I really don't have anything else for you. But I really appreciate your time. This was a treat to me, and I look forward to transcribing and entering this into our kind of our ongoing history of the Writing Center. But best of you to this rest of the semester, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Yeah, thanks so much. It was good talking, and best of luck at Louisville. I miss it. It's a great place.
Yeah.
So we hope you have a great time there.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Take care.